Good morning. Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist. I'm so excited to see each of you here this morning. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, we would ask that you fill out a visitor's card. It'll be in the pew in front of you. And if you'll just drop that off in the offering plate as it comes by, we'll be glad to find out more about you. You're going to need to take out your pen and paper this morning because the announcements... It's not a joke. So here we go. please pick up your cards in the Lottie Moon post office if you have not done so. We are overflowing and busting at the seams. So if you have not picked up your Christmas cards, please go take a look because you might have some in there. The Ann Graves Pearl Johnson Mission Prayer Circles will meet this Thursday at the home of Ruth West at noon. The Senior Adult Ministry is sponsoring dinner at Cafe Vesuvio and caroling at Oak Haven this Thursday evening with a stop to see Doris Thurkill. The church bus will be leaving the parking lot at 5 o'clock and will head straight to the restaurant. All are welcome to come, and if you would like to meet them at the restaurant, that is fine. Collection of gift cards and paper goods will continue through tomorrow to sponsor the Deep River Elementary School family whose mom is at the Burn Center in Chapel Hill. Drop off in the church office. We hope that you'll join us tonight for our choir's presentation of Joyful and Triumphant in here tonight at 6 o'clock. Please be reminded that those attending are asked to bring your favorite finger food for the reception following. Also, children and youth singing in the cantata, please be in the sanctuary at 5:20 today. Jimmy will need a few parents to sit with the children until they sing. After they sing, they can return back to their parents. Sorry. Looking ahead, this Wednesday at 6:30, we will go to share carols with some of our homebound. We will return to a bonfire, s'mores, and time of fellowship here at church. Next Sunday at 10 a.m., we will have our Christmas Eve worship service. There will be no Sunday school that day, okay? So no Sunday school, just 10 o'clock service in here. And then finally, on Saturday, December 30th, the Baptist men will meet at 10 o'clock to rake Arlene Ash's yard plus some others. Now, prayer concerns. Please remember Sam Cotton as he is recuperating from a fall that he had. Arlene Ash has bronchitis. Joe Schaub is having stents put in at Moore Regional this Tuesday. And then Faye Stewart, which is Jay Bridges' mother-in-law, she had surgery for cancer this past week. And we just want to remember all of them in our prayers. And now I just ask that we turn our hearts and minds towards worship. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be in your presence this morning, to be in your house to worship you. God, I just ask that you help us to focus our attention on you this morning, God, that we would sing our praises and that you would hear our prayers as we offer them to you now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
On the third Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of joy. We sing joy to the world. We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. The joy of Christmas for all people everywhere. The joy of Christmas is that God loves everyone, and the message of the angels still ring true today. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. The joy of Christmas is salvation. God threw open his arms at Christmas and blessed all the world, past, present, and future. The gift of Christmas is indeed the joy of the world. Sin has been defeated, eternity has been secured, and all the world is invited to the Christmas party. Paul said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not the works, lest any should boast." It is the gift of God, the greatest gift the world has ever been given. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Today, we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy.
Heard the bells on Christmas Day. Number 98. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your many blessings. Dear Lord, please guide, lead, and direct us. Give us words, wisdom, action, patience, and understanding to do thy will. Dear Lord, please accept and bless these tithes and these offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Turn to number 85. We're going to do first verse of four carols. 85 is the first one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whoa. We got to try that again. You ready? Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. That was better. So this morning, we've got the whole crew up here, right? We've been talking about the birth of Jesus and all the people that came to visit him while he was in the stable, right? Who have we added today? Who do you see that's different? Yes. Yeah, the wise men and the camel, yeah. So we're going to read, we're going to continue with our story. We're going to read about the wise men and when they came, okay? It says, far away in the east, three clever men saw the very same star, the star that God had put in the sky when Jesus was born. They knew it was a sign. A baby king had been born. They had been waiting for this star. They knew it would come. He's here, they shouted. He's here. At dawn, they packed up their camels and wrapped gifts for the baby. They brought their most precious treasures of all, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. special, sparkly, lovely smelling, gleaming things just right for a king. The three wise men set off. They rode their camels across the deserts, up steep, steep mountains, down into deep, deep valleys, through raging rivers, over grassy plains. Night and day and night, for hours, that turned into days, that turned into weeks, that turned into months, and months until at last they reached Jerusalem. Jerusalem was by far the most important city for miles around, and as anyone can tell you, that's where a palace would be, and kings are born in palaces. So that's where they went, but they were in for a surprise. They went to see King Herod. Surely he'd know where this baby was, but he didn't. In fact, he didn't like the sound of a new king. It made him cross. He didn't want anyone to be king except him. But Herod's advisors told the three wise men what was written in their books, what God had said about the baby king. Go to Bethlehem. That's where you will find him. Suddenly, the star they had seen in the east started moving again, showing them the way. So the three wise men followed the star out of the big city along the road into the little town of Bethlehem. They followed the star through the streets of Bethlehem, out of the nice part of town, through the not so nice part of town, into the really not so nice at all part of town, down a little dirty dirt track until it stopped right over a little house. But wait, it wasn't a palace, and there weren't any guards or servants or trumpets or anything. Did they get it wrong, or was this what God meant? Sure enough, in that little house, there sitting on his mother's knee, they found him, the baby king. The three men knelt before the little king. They took off their rich royal turbans and gleaming crowns. They bowed their noble head to the ground and gave him their sparkling treasures. The journey that had begun so many centuries before had led three wise men here, to a little town, to a little house, to a little child. To the king, God had promised David all those years before, but this child was a new kind of king. Though he was the prince of heaven, he had become poor. Though he was the mighty God, he had become a helpless baby. This king hadn't come to be the boss. He had come to be a servant. So, we now have the whole stage set, right? We have Mary and Joseph, we have the angel, we have the sheep for the shepherds, and we have the three wise men that came. And we have baby Jesus. We can't forget baby Jesus, right? That's the whole reason why we celebrate Christmas, right? And it's coming up quickly. It's next weekend. Next Monday. But when you are getting ready to celebrate, I want you to remember this story, and I want you to remember why we celebrate and why it's so important, okay? Can we do that? All right, let's say a prayer together. God, I thank you so much for these kids that are here and for the story that we just heard. God, we thank you that in just a short little while, we will celebrate your son's birth and for what that means for us as Christian people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites the candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. And na 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 na. Na 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 na. We are a whose hearts are blazing. Let's raise our candles and light the sky. Pray to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your
Numbers chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. The Lord said to Moses, out of all the Israelites, I have taken the Levites to be substitutes for every firstborn male offspring among them. The Levites are mine, because every firstborn is mine. The day I killed every firstborn male in Egypt, I set apart as holy every firstborn in Israel, whether human or animal. They will be mine. I am the Lord.
Thank you, Ted. Would you pray with me? Lord, we have sung carols about peace in the midst of hatred and bells ringing. We have spoken of joy. We've been reminded that there is darkness all around us, but we are a community ablazing. And we each can leave with a candle to pierce the darkness and to share your light with a hurting and sometimes hopeless and sometimes struggling under the hardness of life world. And so, Lord, here we are, gathering 8 days before Christmas, gathering in this place to hear a word from you. But Lord, we've got to be honest. Sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes the road noise of life makes us need to turn you up a little louder to hear your voice. And sometimes we hear it, but it's kind of like music in the background. We just hum along, but Lord, we're not paying attention to the lyrics of your love. Today, O Lord, we need to hear you in the midst of the room noise that's all around us, still ringing in our ears as Black Friday sales and just 8 days before Christmas, 8 shopping days left. And Lord, our minds sometimes seem to wander to, is the house ready? And where's everybody going to be when they get here for our celebration and logistics? God, would you let us be still in your presence? May we become fellow pilgrims on our way to be registered with Mary and Joseph. May we hear the angels in the distance as they sing to the shepherds. And may we hear the first cry our Lord and Savior makes in the manger as he breathes his first breath of earthly air. May we hear from you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Our anthem this morning, Almost There, is written by Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. They recorded it back in 2014. Talks about several different metaphors of how we're almost at the manger. Mary, full of innocence, carrying the Holy Prince, you're almost there. Mother of the living word, trusting in the voice you've heard, you're almost there. Then it goes on to talk about how God's redeeming plan had been in place for centuries. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus' birth 800 years before his birth. The angels' new redemption's plan was unfolding. And then we always need to remember the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 80 miles on either foot or a donkey, and 9 months pregnant.
Thank you, choir. Almost there. Power. Powerful image. Thank you, Ben, for reminding us to light that candle. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the first 7 verses of that story. We've already talked about shepherds, and we've already talked about wise men. Next Sunday at 10 o'clock, we'll gather in this place for a time of lessons and carols and special music. The message will be the story of Christ as it comes from Scripture, and the carols will prepare us to worship the King. So today, let's hear the story of our Savior being born in a manger in Bethlehem in difficult times. And may God speak to us about our difficult times, yours and mine. Luke chapter 2, the first 7 verses. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each one to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of this portion of his most holy word. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for being our Lord even in hard times. And Lord, no doubt there's someone here today who's living in hard times. All of us have. All of us are, or all of us will. So give us a word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I saw somewhere that apparently there is a new craze that women, when they go to the hospital and are about to deliver their child, dance. Have you seen that? I don't know how you'll see it. It was weird for me. But I remember walking halls to try to help the process continue. But Mary was 9 months pregnant. And suddenly, this requirement came upon her. And this requirement was to go and be registered. As Jimmy mentioned, it was near a 100-mile trip. Walking or riding on a donkey or in a wagon, we don't know how they made the journey, but we know how long it was and how hard it was. We've talked about giving through hatred, and we've talked about giving when it was hopeless, and today we're going to turn our attention to giving faith when it's hard, and it was hard You might mention when we were talking about giving when it was horrified. That's hard, but that was that acute kind of sudden fear that fell upon them. We're talking about when it's hard for a long time now. Hard for days and weeks and months. Hard because it's not getting any better and our circumstance is not changing as we wished it were, as we hope it will, as we need it to. I want to put this sermon in the parentheses of a story. 7-year-old Johnny yelled, "Daddy, Daddy, guess what's missing?" They were in the front yard and they were putting up with great excitement the life-size manger scene they placed traditionally in their front yard. "What is it, son?" Dad asked. And Johnny, with a frown on his face, said, "It's baby Jesus. We can't find baby Jesus." To which this 7-year-old prophet made this statement, "Daddy, if we can't find Jesus, there's no need to put up the manger at all." Johnny's right. You can celebrate Christmas and never find Jesus. You know that? In fact, I would go on to add to that warning that our culture encourages us to do just that. To have a wonderful, merry, jolly, magnificent Norman Rockwell kind of Christmas, with great stories, with fires and snow and decoration and gifts and family, and enjoy life. And Jesus, well, he's optional. In fact, really, if you know all the story, he's kind of a drag on Christmas. He gets in the way, doesn't he? I think it should never be wasted on us that the reason this story of his birth, these 7 verses that we read every year at Christmas, and maybe you'll read them on Christmas Day, I hope you will, they invary a tremendous economy of words. They tell us it was a hard time. Hard time for Mary, for Joseph, and even for baby Jesus. It was a hard time. Sometimes life can be difficult. You've noticed that, right? What hard things are facing you right now? "Oh, Pastor, we came today to hear a message." Don't make me go there. I don't want to think about that. I'll think about that later this afternoon. I thought about it last night. Is there anybody here who didn't sleep well last night because hard things were on your heart and mind and peace was just a little bit out of reach? What hard things are facing you? What struggles are there? Well, quickly this morning, I want us to look at some R's if you're wanting to make notes. The first one is sometimes hard things can be caused because of requirements. And we know this. In the first verse, it tells us Caesar Augustus has put out this decree. Rome is all over the known world, and he now has control, and he decides that he needs a census. Not to know how many subjects he has, but to know what his tax base is. This was for a taxing. This is to give taxes, to raise money, to keep the kingdom going. But we're not really sure. And when you start to date it and you look at when Quirinius was a governor and when Herod died, you begin to do all kind of things with the chronology. And I've read all kind of reasons of why, when, and what everything took place. But here's what I know. That often when there were these kind of decrees from Rome, they would come and give that ultimate deadline. And it must have been that kind of thing, a deadline. You ever had a deadline? How many here love deadlines? No, I don't like deadlines. But that seemed to be the case because you would have thought, why didn't they go when she was 6 months pregnant or 5 months or right after the decree that she was going to be carrying? Why in the world did she wait till 9 months? And we know why. We know God's planning in the midst of the hardness. Don't forget that. You might want to scribble that down. Remember, God has a plan even in hard times. And Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem to answer the prophet's question, can anything good come from Bethlehem? And the answer is, oh yes, the best can come from little Bethlehem. The requirement was that they had to go. That's the only reason you take off in a week's journey when your wife is 9 months pregnant. It was a hard trip. I want to say two things. First, sometimes we put bad requirements on ourselves. Have you ever put a bad requirement on yourself? How many of you got a credit card with a balance? You put a hard decision on yourself, didn't you? How many of us ever bought that thing we just thought we had to have, and then when we got home, I think they call it buyer's remorse? You ever had that remorse? And then suddenly you had that thing that was there and it was going to require more of your money than you really wanted to give. And then I love that term. Have you ever heard that term, you're upside down? You know what that means in a loan? You're upside down. That's not aerobics. That means that you owe more on that, whatever it is, then it's worth. And yet, discover, or listen to the name of this, MasterCard. MasterCard. Still wants you to make those payments, requires you to make those payments. You ever do that with your time? You ever try to get 26 hours in a 24-hour day? You ever try to make sure you're doing everything that you need to do, and suddenly there are requirements because you've agreed to do this, and you've agreed to do that, and you need to do this, and this needs to be accomplished, and you really want to do it? And you've put those requirements on you. There might not be time for Bible study because all those requirements we chose to put on ourselves. I can tell you this truth. Tomorrow there's only going to be 24 hours in the day. Next year, 24. 10 years from now, 24. 20 years, well, Congress may mess this up, I don't know. But if they don't, 20 years from now, 24. And God simply waits for us to give Him His time. Mary and Joseph must have had all, I wonder what that 3 or 4 day conversation must have been like as they made that journey. I can almost hear Mary, why in the world have we waited this late? Joseph must have wondered, why in the world has Rome done this to us? I've had those kind of conversations, haven't you? In 2018, isn't it neat how I'm slipping in a little new year right now? Isn't that cool? Y'all see that? Don't let that be wasted on you. Could you make a prayer that this year I'll make sure in 2018 I give God my first fruits? I am going to make this requirement upon myself that I'll give God first. My family second, and everything else after that. Sometimes requirements aren't those we put on ourselves. Sometimes they're those that others put on us. Mary and Joseph, they had by law to go. It wasn't optional. They couldn't go unless they were willing to face the consequences, and the consequences were severe. We might talk about them being unjust, and they were. We might talk about them being unfair, and they were. But they were requirements just the same. And you and I, we'll have those unfair requirements upon us, won't we? We will. Sometimes someone will ask us something. It's ridiculous to ask us. They'll require something of us. It's ridiculous for them to require it, and yet they will. There are many things we face today, those required things. Let's make sure we do a good job of not letting them overcome us. Mary and Joseph didn't. Secondly, they were rushed. They were rushed. You don't take this trip unless you have to. They had to get there. And when they got there, they weren't the only one rushed. It was probably that first Christmas rush. But it wasn't to a department store, to a mall. It was to keep the Roman government off your backs. And when they made it there, that long trip, those deadlines, that rushing that can cause such stress, rushing. Next, they were refused. Can you imagine getting there and finally getting there and walking in, and they said, there's one little house down here. He's got some rooms. He rents them out. That's the inn. It wasn't Holiday Inn. I don't think there were no vacancy signs. It was just a little community. Bethlehem, it wasn't ready for this kind of investing of people and this just barrage of people. They just weren't ready for it. I can't imagine what it must have been like when Joseph went in and he said, I need a room. And the innkeeper said, there's no room. You're kidding, right? There's no room. Did you see the streets? There's no room. But my wife, she's pregnant and it's close. I'm sorry. There's still no room. There's still no room to be refused. I guess as far as socially is concerned, I've only had one time in my entire life that I guess I could relate to being refused. And I was raised in Bertie County. Bertie County, when I was there, was probably 75-80% African American, and the rest were white or Hispanic, but predominantly. But yet, our culture was, I guess, like a lot of cultures in the 70s, and I had a friend that I went to high school with. His name was Dexter Baum. And Dexter and I played tennis together. And we always played at the school. We always played at Bertie Senior High School. And we got together. We were going to play this day. And we rode to the school. And John Brown, they were paving the courts. Don't you just hate that? And I had to drive 18 miles from Lewiston to Windsor to get to those tennis courts to play with Dexter. And so we said, well, where shall we go? And we jumped in our car. And because of the climate of the day and the racial way it was, we rode by 8 tennis courts that I could have played on because I was white. But Dexter couldn't play because he was black. And I remember we drove all the way to Ahoskie. Y'all gonna go home and get a map and Google all this, aren't you? Lewiston, Windsor, Ahoskie. We did some traveling when we wanted to go places where I live. And we got to Ahoskie because there was a public course there that everybody could play on. And I remember two guys were playing and they were finishing up, and Dexter and I got out of my 1973 green Volkswagen Super Beetle. I want you to see that. My favorite car. And we started to walk down to the courts, and the guys saw us. And they said, let's play one more set. And we sat down and watched them play, and I'll never forget what Dexter said to me. He looked at me and he said, how does it feel to be black? I'd never had that experience before. You ever been refused? You ever been refused because of no reason of your own? You were just refused. It feels terrible, doesn't it? because refusal leads to that last thought for the day, the rejection. To feel rejected is a terrible way to feel. Not only were they required to go, not only were they rushed to go, not only were they refused, but they must have felt rejected, rejected by God. Can you imagine Joseph under his breath saying, "Lord, why in the world are you doing this to me? I've run the risk of being rejected at Nazareth because I've got a fiance that's pregnant, and you go try to explain that to somebody. You go tell them what's going on, and they're going to look at you funny. And we've been working around this as hard as we can. I've been trying to save mom's face and dad's face. I've been trying to keep my business going in our community. And Mary, she's had the same problem. We're tired of being rejected. We're tired of being refused. We're tired of this rushing. We're tired of all these requirements that are upon us." You ever feel that way? You ever feel like life's just not what it needs to be? We have, haven't we? Oh, rejection's never easy. It never feels good. It never fits in our monologue. It never fits in our lives. And yet we know it, don't we? Sometimes we're rejected by our world. But I find you can get it in. Ned had a doctor's appointment this week, and we were meeting with a person that obviously wasn't from the Christian tradition, but we were talking about Christmas, and they had wished us happy holidays, and that's sweet. And I responded, but as the conversation went on and trying to make conversation, they asked our plans for Christmas. We shared our plans. We asked their plans for Christmas. They shared their plans. Just casual and cordial conversation that we in the South know how to do. Amen. And we were doing it. I want you to know we had it going on. And they mentioned that one thing they liked to do was to, as part of their giving, was to pick a charitable place and give to a charitable place. And so in that moment, in a doctor's office, right before my wife was going to be operated on, I don't know what I'd have done if I was the one about to be operated on, but I saw an opening, you know? You ever see an opening? And so I said, "Well, you know, we're Christian. And for us, Christmas is about the Christ child and the gift that he gave of eternal life for all who put their faith and trust in him. So I love your idea of giving to someone in need because that's exactly what Christ did." And suddenly our conversation got a little chillier, but that was okay. That was okay. I've been praying even this morning for that seed. I wonder, are we ready? I know my time is gone, but I've got to end it with this idea. What did Mary and Joseph do in the midst of being rushed and rejected and refused and required? They resolved to do the right thing. If you'd answer this one question, and then I'm going to follow it up with a second question. The first question is, and each of us will answer it, and it will be our answer, and no two will be alike. Are we actively following God's plan for our life? Are you following your plan? Am I following the plan God has for my life? It's not always easy. Mary and Joseph, they're a stark reminder. It's not always easy. But they followed it, didn't they? They recognized that Christ was bigger than their crisis. Wow, I like that. Can I say that again? They recognized that Christ was bigger than their crisis. Oh, they'd been through a trying time, and yet they realized something great was happening. This Christmas, something great can happen. If I can answer that question, am I following God's plan? Because I guess, really, there's only two ways of answering it, right? In the yes or no, is it that kind of question? I am or I'm not. Giving faith when it's hard, that's exactly what we're called to do. Every great person in the Bible was a person who exercised faith in hard times. Noah, remember him? Abraham, remember him? Gideon, David, Daniel, Job, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, all of the New Testament, it's full of stories of folks, especially our disciples, who gave themselves totally over in hard times. And Jesus is our prime example. I was at a prayer meeting this week, and as we were praying, one of the ministers in our prayer group prayed, "Lord, help me not play it safe in 2018. Help me take some risk for you." Wow. I like playing it safe. How about you? Taking risks, that's not very comfortable. I gotta remind us of what I call an if not faith. And if not faith. And if not faith. Mary and Joseph were experiencing it. But I think the prime example is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar has become angry because they won't bow down, and he's about to cast them into the fire, and he gives them one last chance to give a defense. In Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 17, they say this: "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." But listen to verse 18. And if not faith, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And if not, you know what they were saying? If we die in the fire, our faith won't bend. They took a risk, didn't they? I think Mary and Joseph must have realized their sacrifice was for their Savior. I think my wife is going to sing, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I love that line in that song that says, "Mary, did you know the child that you delivered will soon deliver you?" Wow. The sacrifices we make for our Savior don't compare with the sacrifice our Savior made for us. Be resolved. Be resolved as we come to Christmas to not let the world rush you or require of you or refuse you or reject you into some corner. Be resolved. Be resolved. They trusted what God had said, and they went to Bethlehem. They believed God wanted them to do what they were doing, and they did it. They believed God wanted them to do what they were doing, and they did it. They believed God wanted them to do what they were doing, and they did it. May God help me in hard times to be faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, we've all experienced hard times. Those feelings of unfair requirements, of being rushed, of being rejected or refused. And even being Christians in 2017 and 18, it's a challenge. Help us to be resolved, like Mary and Joseph, to carry out and deliver our Savior, who ultimately delivers us. In Christ's name we pray. Our closing hymn is page 102. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, maybe about that hard time, maybe you need to come this morning to this altar. Maybe you need to come make some decision publicly about that hard time and what God's saying. But may each of us, in our own heart and in our own mind, answer that little question. You remember it? You remember that question? Are we following God's plan for our life? As we stand together. Tonight at 6 o'clock, I hope you'll be back. Our choir has worked hard, and we're going to have a lot of other choirs. It's going to be a powerful experience. I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. This Wednesday, we are going to have some fellowship, but it's also a ministry. If you could come and help us go caroling this Wednesday night, you don't know what a powerful moment that is in a Homebound's life. I've had folks that have talked to me 6 and 8 months later about when we came and sang for them. And I'm going, so singing is not a requirement, okay? Come on down. We can do this together. And we're looking forward to that opportunity. And then next Sunday, as we gather on Christmas Eve at 10 o'clock, remember that change of time, in our worship center on Christmas Eve for our lessons and carols. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence. That we might be His people even in hard times, in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. As Ben reminded us, to be candles and go light your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Years ago.